you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration. Right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. And I'm a 26-year talk radio host. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, and we're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, and of course at LiveParanormal.com. Raising the Vibration is an outreach of a nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded in 2016 to carry on my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane, and it's grown so far beyond that into many things and really become my ministry and my mission to help folks all over the world to implement more peace and love and kindness and unity into their existence. Those are the cornerstone words of the movement. Here at Raising the Vibration Radio, our words are ascend, inspire, evolve, and love. You notice I doubled up on love because you always have to double up on love. Here in the time of COVID, I have to tell you, I live at the beach. And everybody at the beach either has a Harley or a car with no muffler. So you often hear that in the background during my show. Either that or I'm home and then you hear the cacophony of pets that I have. My guest today is a wonderfully talented human being that I love. Every week on the show I gather, I think, the brightest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in the world of passion, give back, spirituality, service. What are you doing for the world to make it a more beautiful and lovely place is what we ask every week on the show. And my guest is certainly no exception. She is the senior pastor at the Valley MCC UCC Church. And recently I participated in a virtual Pride interfaith service for her. And it's always a joy to have her on the radio with me. But this is her very first time on Raising the Vibration, which I think is very exciting. And I met her because I am part of the Los Angeles Interfaith Queer Clergy Council, and it gathers beautiful minds and hearts and souls, just like I'm talking about, from all over the place. And that's how I met the amazing Reverend Dr. Pat Langlois. How are you, my friend? It's wonderful to hear you, your voice, and such an honor to have you today on my show. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm doing well. You can hear me, right?
I can hear you great. Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, perfect. Okay, yes, I sure can.
It's
thank
the magic
you so much
of technology.
I know. It's like, can you hear me now? I'm doing well, thank you. And yes, it was a really amazing time to get people from so many different faith communities together this last Sunday, live and virtual, to bring an incredible message out to our communities of exactly what it is that you're talking about, of raising the vibration, of sending out love and purpose and, you know, and making a difference.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Recently I was talking to a friend who dissuaded me from putting interfaith on a project that I was doing by saying, nobody will know what that is. I don't even know what that is. And I have to tell you that being a member of the intersex community, I've had so many people say to me, don't put that. I don't even know what that is. Nobody knows what that is. And my answer, I think, maybe because I was raised by a teacher, is always, well, then why don't you go figure out what that is? There's this amazing thing called Google. It's a library that lives in your phone. Why don't you go figure out what that is?
Absolutely.
I cannot fathom in my own sociological and cultural ideology, Pat, not ever saying to somebody, well, don't use that because I don't know what that is. It's like, well, isn't that kind of on me because I don't know what that is? And for me to figure out what that is? Yep. I mean, that's, you know.
I'm there with you. I mean, there's lots of different things in my life that it's like I might not be comfortable with or I might not understand, but guess what? It doesn't matter because it's important to the person who's talking with me.
Exactly.
So it's like,
I think there is a fear of the interfaith mm-hmm. world in the yeah. same way that yeah. there is a fear of people who want world peace. Because I
Correct.
Think that there is something innate in humans, right? We are a
right.
thing, and everybody who is
right.
our thing is with us, and everybody who's not
right.
our thing is against us. And we fight
yeah,
against that mammalian thing inside of us, right?
Right. And imagine, just imagine, if people from various faiths started to talk with each other. Imagine
right.
what would happen. We would go, uh-oh, they are a lot more like me than I had been told. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we might,
mm-hmm.
we just might, you know, begin to attain, you know, the community, the compassion, the world peace, the community peace that, you know, we all individually in our own little world want to find. So, yeah, doing
right.
interfaith work, I think, Sheena, is really, really important. You know, one of the things that's, you know, for instance, is something as simple as, you know, listen to how people pray, right? You know, Christians from, if we go back to our Aramaic roots, you know, the Jesus language, or Jewish people, you know, the Hebrew chants, or, oh, the Muslim faith, listen to how all of those prayers sound, and they're all very, very similar in heart and in sound and in message. So I'm with you. It's so important.
Well, and I'm kind of this weird, you know, strange, I think, being in the world, because most
yeah.
people find interfaith as they move away from the,
yeah.
you know, the oneness of what they believe. I've been interfaith my
yeah.
whole life. I've never been anything different.
Right. Right.
So I
right,
don't know
exactly.
any different. And to me, I believe, and I say this in my services, my Saturday night spiritual services at Founders MCC,
mm-hmm.
where I'm pastored, that we're all interfaith.
Right.
The interfaith community is every community together. So if you are Christian,
right.
you're part of the interfaith community. If you are Muslim, you're part of the interfaith community. Because it's kind of
right.
like saying, oh, well, I'm Irish and I am Irish. Bad. Well, I'm Irish, therefore, but
right.
I'm not a person. It's like, no,
right.
you're still a person. We're all people. So to
right,
sort of reject
right.
the interfaith community, to me, is to say I don't believe that other religions, other spiritual devotions have a right to exist. Because
exactly.
no one's asking you to be all of those religions. No one's saying that
no.
in order to
no.
be interfaith, you
right.
have to be practicing of an unlimited amount of faith. It's just that you have
right.
to acknowledge that your faith is a piece of the pie.
Is a piece of a pie. Exactly. Well, you know, one of my little sayings that some people like, you know, just about drop dead over is I really believe that, you know, Jesus was one of the first interfaith ministers. You know, I mean, because look at it. He was a rabbi and he was born to the Jewish faith. He died Jewish. He was rabbi to the end. He was not a Christian. However, if we look at his teachings, he went beyond just the Jewish community. You know, he did outreach to the Samaritans, right? I mean, ooh, the big bugaboo there.
Right.
You know, and he talked about, and he crossed lines all over the place to bring a message of God is love,
mm-hmm.
find healing, and be a part of the healing and wholeness of the world. That
mm-hmm.
was a crux of his teachings. And so, yeah, I think that we all walk in the footsteps of great people. You know, for me as a practicing Christian, you know, not the kind that most people think of. When they,
right.
I mean, I have this ongoing conversation with my teen. I have a teenage kiddo right now, you know, who, you know, is like, oh, mom, poo on the Christian faith. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Okay, yeah.
Christianity.
Sure.
Had
I was there.
Christianity,
I did that.
Yeah. Yeah, Christianity has
yep.
not been good. However,
right. yep.
you know, I grew up in Orange County
in the 80s,
yeah.
so I rebelled.
Yep, so I follow the teachings of Jesus, and, you know, he was a pretty cool dude, you know, in my opinion. And so
yeah.
let's go, you know, serve those who need to be served. Let's go deeper into my own faith. Let me find my own spiritual practices and traditions and do them, you know. And, it, being interfaith, like you said, it's not about giving up. You know, for me, I've described myself as a metaphysical pagan Christian. And I almost did not get ordained. I almost did not get ordained for that statement, because some of the people on my committee at the time were like, "What did you just say?" But the crux for me, you know, I resonate strongly with the pagan and Wiccaning community, the spirituality of the earth. And I resonate a lot with metaphysics, but for me, Christianity is my foundation. And you know, I don't see myself as what Christianity has turned into, but as what I'm trying to remember and to quote resurrect, unintended, some original teachings. And so for that's my foundational faith. And I am blessed and expanded. My faith and my life is expanded with the richness of the faith around me. I mean, my brother my brother's a pagan priest, and I'll never forget. We were both raised Catholic. My parents did not know what to do. You know, they look and they went, "Oh, okay, we have a pagan heterosexual son and a Christian lesbian daughter."
Welcome to mind expansion. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Good for you.
And so, yeah, so I'll never forget when I was with him and at a ritual that he was doing. I can't remember which one, but it was a large gathering, and they came to the part of, you know, for them, cakes and ale, right? You know, at the end where they're passing bread and a drink as a symbol of community. And we both looked at each other and I went, "Oh my God, this is communion." I mean, it's like, hello.
Yeah. Absolutely. I went to a hardcore ritual magic Yule ceremony a couple of years ago. I mean, old school. And I was watching this thing and I was like, "Oh yeah, the monks the Christian monks stole all this stuff."
Right, exactly.
Because it was like watching, and it sounded, the singing sounded just like Gregorian chants. And I'm like, "Oh, well, now I get where the Christians got it from."
Exactly.
That's the beauty of interfaith, right?
Yes, absolutely. It certainly is.
It's that you don't have to see the difference. You can see the sameness, and it can be okay. Mm-hmm. And you can say, you know what, I've got a, you know, my beautiful spirit daughter who just turned 18, who's graduating from high school on Friday, who's amazing.
She
has a pink princess bedroom because she is a princess.
Oh, I love it.
But then she has a crucifix and a cauldron and a Buddha and a beautiful collection of tarot and oracle cards, like everything you can imagine in the lightwork world, because basically no one's told her, no, that's wrong.
And
Jesus, the crucifix kind of looks groovy next to the pentagram, but I think everything belongs together. So to me, there's not anything strange about that. And it's not weird unless you tell somebody it's weird. If they don't think it's weird, do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Exactly.
I was telling the story on the show a couple of weeks ago that I was having lunch with friends that are all, I'm 54, I'm the youngest of the group. And they were all talking about, many of them were talking about how they wish they hadn't, actresses and models and musicians, they were all talking about how they wish they hadn't gotten their breast implants and how I wish I hadn't done it, but somebody talked me into it. And I was thinking again about my beautiful spirit child who just turned 18 and how her friends are like straight, gay, pansexual, and they're all different shapes and sizes, and they're just about being them. And how, to me, that's a sign that there is evolution happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because these girls don't feel like they have to be a certain way or have a certain cup in order to be validated. I think that is an amazing sign. And I think that interfaith is that too, right? You don't have to pick a sexuality. You don't have to pick a gender. You don't have to pick a certain spiritual faith. Just as my mom used to say, just be you. Just be whoever you are. Just figure it out and be whoever.
Right.
That's why when I talk in my sermons, I always talk about the spiritual salad bar, because I always laugh that you'll go to a place like Sizzler with friends and everybody has a different plate, but nobody's like, "Oh, how come you didn't get the onions? You're going to hell." But for some reason with spirituality, we decide if we're not all the same, then this giant wrath of God is going to come and smoke all of us.
Right, exactly, which is pretty sad when you think about it. You know, I mean, and it's interesting that, you know, you bring up the younger generation, Sheena, because I really think that we have, you know, those of us who are over 40, you know, really have to take a breath and to stop and to step back and to realize, you know, our generation did what we could with what we had. And if we keep going, if we keep going with what we've done, all of our faith will probably die. Because of the hypocrisy, et cetera, that has come up and the you know, enforcement, if you will, of this is how you do it, or else. And I completely resonate with what you say of the, you know, the generation of teens and 20-somethings right now are really are taking us to task. I'll be honest. I feel, I'm just saying, you know, the world is a different place. And if, you know, the fact that over 50% right now of people less than 50% of people now are identifying even as Christian, let alone of any faith at all. And that has so much to do with, because we've cemented hypocrisy and discrimination in our faith traditions, especially Christianity. And if we if we don't give ourselves permission to break out of our boxes, then we won't have a box to be in 20 years from now. And the fact that I completely concur with you about, you know, as you said, your spiritual daughter, you know, not having to feel as if they have to identify as just this or just that. You know, my teen right now is teaching me, quite frankly, the same thing. And, you know, the reality is, you know, I mean, they came out as non-binary about 4 months ago, and, you know, and now gender fluid. And so I said, you know, okay, honey, you just tell me, you just tell me where you're at today and I'll buy a new flag for your wall. You know, so there's trans and pan and non-binary and lesbian on their walls, and they get to celebrate all of it. And the thing about that, though, that I think is really important as a, you know, as a minister, what I'm bringing into the spiritual teachings is God is so much more than the binary. You know, what we believe. What my teen is teaching me in a real, which I've known, of course, in my head, but in practice of, you know, our spirituality has got to reflect the world. And the world is so many different colors of the rainbow. It's not this black and white. You know, I mean, we just keep hammering home, you know, God is, you know, the old white guy in the sky. Well, maybe not. Let's step down and look at the moon, shall we? And if the deity is supposed to reflect humanity, then I love what the United Church of Christ has a meme going out right now that says, God is they, them. And I'm like, you go for it. You got it. So, you know, and it's...
And I refer to God as they, not because I believe God is non-binary, which I do, but because I believe that God is a they, like plural.
Correct.
I think that an energy force should be referred to as they, because it's not a person.
Right.
It's not a being.
Right.
It's
Yeah,
you know, I mean, honestly, if God was a being, God could have just come here themselves and done Christ's work or Buddha's work.
Exactly.
But God is a force. And it's interesting. It's interesting what you said about your child and the identification, your teenager. I get kind of upset when there is the spiritual pie, right? The interfaith pie, and somebody says, oh, well, you know, that faith is too little or too unheard of. It doesn't belong in the pie. In the same way that I get upset in the queer community when not all the letters are valued. When people go, oh, it's just the LGBT plus. It's like, well, how would you like to be plus? You know, A dear friend of mine was Dawn Wells, who was Marianne on Gilligan's Island. Sadly, my dear Dawn passed from COVID last year. But she was the one who went to the producer of Gilligan's Island and fought, because at the beginning of the show, it was she and the professor were just and the rest. It was the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, and the rest. She was like, well, how would you like to be and the rest? And that's kind of what I always think about when people put the plus sign in and they ignore everybody from plus forward. But those communities that are beyond the T, are the ones that need the most recognition because those are the ones that are the newest to be recognized.
Exactly.
And
one of the things, for me, because, let's face it, the LGBT community, especially, the over 40s, when it comes to, for instance, the whole non-binary, gender fluid, et cetera, conversations, they're like, oh, it's just too much. I just don't get it. Okay, you don't have to. However, we opened the door. When Stonewall happened, of course, we know things were going on before Stonewall, but, the riots of the 60s, the activism of the 50s and prior to that, our whole thing was opening the door so that we could be. Well, guess what? We opened the door and we cannot slam it on our children. We told our children, be who you are, name who you are, and they are. And so we cannot slam the door because, it's too difficult for me. That's like, saying, to our parents and ministers when we were kids, who said, I don't get it, and I'm not going to acknowledge you, you gay person or you lesbian, et cetera. We in the queer community, we've got to make sure we practice what we preach and, continue to say, all right, and say, okay, I'm having a hard time with this, but, I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn.
Right.
I'll be honest.
But that's the whole thing with humans.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the downfall of humanity again. That's the us and them.
Right.
A couple of years ago, I was in a car accident, and I went to the ER to get an x-ray. And this lady was sitting in front of me with her two daughters, who clearly were a couple of, but I don't think she had any idea. And she was, her accent was so thick, you could barely understand her from the Mexican accent. And she was talking about the immigration laws and how we had to stop the Mexicans from coming in. And she was going on and on and on about it. And then finally her daughter said, but Mom, you immigrated illegally from Mexico. And then she said, yes, but I'm here now, and I don't want anyone else to get in. And that really is the history of humanity, right? It was okay when it was for me, but now I'm shutting the door behind me and nobody else comes. And I think sadly in the queer community, Pat, we saw that when it was just LG, right? Then begrudgingly the B's were let in, then begrudgingly the T's were let in. And now no one knows what the hell to do with the rest. They just stick a plus sign and pray it'll go away. And, it's not, we are living in a time now. Like if you talk to my beautiful spirit child, she will break down the LGBTQI QQIPS2AA, she'll give you all the subsets underneath there. I mean, these kids, they're like 100 letters. But when you listen to the explanations, they all make sense. I mean, every one of them is a valid thing. And then you go, wait a minute, I'm kind of that one. And I'm also kind of that one.
Right.
And then you start thinking about how you see yourself in all of it, right?
That's right. Well, what do they say? The children will teach us. And I think that if we're open to it, they will. They completely will continue to teach us. Well, and, bringing this part of the conversation back around to spirituality, the reason I feel as spiritual folk, we need to really embrace what is coming to us in this regard, and how does this apply to parenting? I mean, to spirituality, is that if we can allow ourselves to apply this learning, the opening door to our spiritual path and to our spiritual understanding of the divine, in my opinion, what then happens is that, if we can see God in not just the old white guy in the sky, that we see God as the African American lesbian or the gender fluid youth or nature, right? If we can see God reflected in the divine, reflected in all of these things, and if we can see all of these things reflected in the divine, ding, ding, guess what happens? When I meet somebody I don't know, or when I see somebody who trips my trigger, I have to stop, take a breath, and realize I'm looking at God. And if I am seeing the reflection of God in an African-American lesbian, say, for instance, or whatever, you know, or a young queer kid, then how much more difficult it will be to ostracize one another. How much more difficult it will be to fight one another. How much more difficult it will be, I often say, to send our children to another country to fight and kill their children. Because if indeed we embrace the concept of everyone and everything in God, and God is in everything, our whole lives would change. So when we
100%.
When I meet somebody, right, and that's why our children, I feel, can radically transform our understanding of our faith, and what a different world it'll be.
Well, and part of the reason I think that this generation knows everything about, I mean, they've developed their own sexual, gender, spiritual identity, is because they spend hours and hours and hours a day on the internet researching things.
Right.
It's like, why don't we learn to be like them? Be a researcher. If someone tells you something that you don't know about, research it, whether it's a spiritual thing. I mean, I hear things every day, and I'm like, that's a thing? I mean, spiritual things, social things.
Right.
I'm like, that's a thing.
Right.
And I go look it up, and it's a thing.
It's a thing.
But I think that we are conditioned so much to carry history with us, which is a good thing, not enough to live in the present with what's actually going on now. And understand that the world is constantly changing. It is constantly becoming something else all the time. And are you changing with it is the question.
Exactly. And if we, and if our religion, I'll just speak from Christianity, and I think this is what Christianity, for instance, is facing big time is, you know, so much of the Christian faith is locked into the Renaissance time, or more than that, the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not progressed much since then, right? I mean, my goodness gracious, we just look around and see how some people, you know, it was like, okay, some people treated the plague of COVID the same way they treated the Black Plague back in medieval times, right?
Exactly,
you know, like,
yes.
Okay, we need to update our faith.
Right.
So,
the same strange, right? Some people becoming so fearful they allowed it to cripple them. Some people in complete denial right up to the day they died of it. I mean, the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And very much reminded me of the AIDS crisis. And I think
Must
have been very scary for those of us in the queer community, especially the men who survived the HIV/AIDS crisis at that time, at the very beginning, because it was so much like, I mean, I lost opportunity. When I finally came out and told people I had COVID, I lost opportunities. Mm-hmm. People were like, and you never need to come back here. It's like,
oh,
you guys,
really?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
So it was something I was scared to talk about for a long time. And then finally it was like, why am I not telling people? People are like, how can you still not feel good from that flu you had? I'm like, I need to tell people it's COVID.
Right.
So we still haven't learned. We're still treating people the same way.
Yes.
We're still wanting to quarantine people into, you know, you can't come to my party because you had COVID 2 years ago. I mean, and again, a little education, a little reading is all it takes to clear up all those worries and fears.
Mm-hmm.
But humans are extremely fear-based, which is why I think religions that preach fear work well on people, because people are waiting for the next thing to be, for the next fear to alter their life. And that's the opposite of lifting your vibration, right? Because raising your vibration is about letting fear go. Fear is like the sandbags holding down the hot air balloon.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think fear-based religion also, you know, grows, et cetera, but only to a point. Because the other thing that mm-hmm. is also very interesting to see is, you know, a lot of the mega churches of 10 years ago aren't quite so much mega churches today. Because,
right.
you know, fear, you know, having a faith, living your life from a place of fear has a shelf life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, the people who are its adherents are rabidly, you know, this is what I believe. And, the percentage of people who stay that rabidly coming from a place of fear, I think people get tired of it. You know, they get tired of it and can't sustain it. But that said, living a life, I believe, where we allow ourselves to question, where we allow ourselves to mm-hmm. grow, where we say, I don't have the answer. I need to figure out the answer. It's hard to do that. I think it's why sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, progressive churches that identify as progressive, at least up until the last year or two, have always been smaller churches. They have not been mega churches because
right.
being a part of something that doesn't give me the answers, do I want to work that hard? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. I agree.
A lot of churchgoers, mm-hmm. I want to go, I want to feel comfortable, I want to have the answer, I want to, you know, and then I want to go home. Versus I'm going to, you know, my faith gathering and I don't know all of the answers and you're not going to tell me all of the answers is a little bit. People don't like to live in the uncertainty. So
no. Well, don't anyway. You think that's also sort of the devil you know versus the devil you don't?
Of
it's
course.
It's the fear
of
what
course.
Might happen to you. I'm watching this wonderful show mm-hmm. on Amazon Prime called Good Girls Revolt. And it's about a bunch
that.
Of women working in a newsroom in 1969 when women weren't allowed to
really?
Be reporters.
Ooh,
and it's interesting to see okay. how, you know, some women are just natural rebels, right? So they're the ones kind of spearheading
right.
everything. But
mm-hmm.
there are so many people mm-hmm. that think, well, what if there's a comfort in not having any rights and my husband's name is the only one on the mortgage and I'm not allowed
right.
to do this unless my husband says okay. What would happen
right.
if I actually took responsibility for my life? That could be scary. And I
yep.
think it's the same thing when reminded me so much when you were talking about folks that live in evangelical worlds, no matter whether they're Christians or they're Orthodox Jewish or whatever it is.
Correct.
People that live
right.
in the
right.
world of extreme religion. Well, what
mm-hmm.
if someone's not telling me who I have to be? What does that
right.
mean for me? And it's
exactly.
I think it's scary. Because
mm-hmm.
scary to think
mm-hmm.
about what life would be without. And I think we see it also in the queer community. You know, I,
mm-hmm.
I talk about this during my sermons all the time, and I'm sure there are folks that cringe that, well, what if one day you decided? I've been gay my whole
mm-hmm.
life, but I met somebody of the opposite sex, and I want to be with them.
Right.
You know what? That's
right.
okay. What if, just like, what if you're straight your whole life and one day you meet somebody the same
mm-hmm.
sex? What if you meet somebody
mm-hmm.
and you think they're a certain gender and then they tell you
mm-hmm.
they're a different one? Okay.
Exactly.
But I think there is also this in the queer
uh-huh.
community of men with men
uh-huh.
or women with women, and
mm-hmm.
that's the end. And
I've
had so many people on so many radio shows say so many strange things about how I would never date a trans woman because blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's a woman and you're attracted to her. What do you care? I would
right.
never date da, 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 da. I mean, that would be like if you were involved with somebody and then they did their ancestry.com and it turned out, oh, guess what? I'm not German. I'm Native American. Are you going to divorce them?
Right. Right.
And I see that same strange
yeah.
bigotry, and I'm like, no, 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 you
yeah.
guys, we're supposed to be on the forefront of this all. We're not supposed
right.
to be the ones that, but it's scary, the idea
mm-hmm.
that for a lot of queer people, the idea that the gender walls are opening is
mm-hmm.
terrifying.
It is. Yep.
Because,
yep.
again, we want our own rules of what's okay, and
mm-hmm.
when the world opens
mm-hmm.
up and everything's okay, then you have to make your own decisions.
Right.
And that, for
exactly.
some people, is terrifying
exactly.
because people are filled
exactly.
with fear. But you're never going to lift
right.
your vibration. You're never going to get to that place of ascension if you don't leave your fear behind.
Right.
And, I mean, man, there are a lot of things to be scared of. If you're going to start to get fearful, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff out there to be fearful of. There's a lot of change happening right now.
Well, and I think everybody, you know, so many people have talked about it, how, you know, if anything out of this last, you know, what, 16 months has been that has taught us is that we're not going to come out of this the same. I think anybody who comes out of this process without changing at all has been like in their cave, because there is no way. I mean, you know, look at it, Gina, you know, from everything from our politics to, you know, racial issues to how do we, to our law enforcement, our justice system, and even, you know, how we quote unquote do church, how we, you know, how do we come in community has all changed. And, you know, I think that I hope that what this has taught us has been to become more comfortable things not being the same way. I think we are being given as a society and as our own separate faith communities an incredible gift and opportunity, because when this started, when this very day, I remember in February of whatever, 2019, when we were being told your churches and faith communities need to physically close. You know, there was all, including myself, going, what are we going to do? What came to me, and I shared with others, is I said, God is giving us an opportunity to really figure out, in my case, what does it really mean to be Christian? Is it about gathering together on a Sunday, or is it about finding a way to stay connected? And I can tell you, for our own faith community, you know, we ended up focusing on finding more and more ways to stay connected. And I'd say going back to the basics, you know, you need help. Let me go to the grocery store and leave it on your step, right? Or I'm lonely. Well, how about making a phone call instead of just sending somebody an email, you know, of getting, using technology in ways to get more connected one-on-one than we ever did before. Right. You know, so even using technology, not as an evil, not as a barrier, but using it more to its full potential, you know, I think it has helped so many of us grow. You know, and I read something and I so resonated with it. It said faith communities who focus on the message more than the mission more than the method are the ones that will not only survive but grow. What is the message of your faith community, not necessarily the method of your faith community? And, you know, I can say for us, we focused on the message. What was our message, right? To be connected, to feed the hungry, to, you know, do outreach to those who are in need. That's our message. And, you know, oh, well, so we didn't meet for corporate worship. We're not even opening for corporate worship as a whole for 2 more weeks, right? So, you know.
Absolutely.
And we've grown. So, I mean, that's saying something about flexibility. So,
I agree. I agree. And I think that we're learning now all different ways that we can do things, and you don't have to. You know, you don't have to be in a place. You don't have to be together. You can Zoom something and it's okay. And you can, and you know, pundits on major news networks are like doing their interviews from their house. You can hear you listen to your AM FM radio and these major funded stations, and you can hear babies crying in the background.
I know.
You hear a dog barking when you call the Amazon lady because she's at home and the dog's in the background. I love it. I think it's showing people being more real. I mean, I loved the first couple of 6 months when you watch the news stations and the hosts of the shows, where you could tell they'd done their own makeup and their hair was like up in ponytails. And I'm like, this is fantastic.
Right.
All of that way that we polish the world with all of this stuff that isn't the real stuff. And for me, it's been very much a, you know, I grew up as an actor, and, you know, the ideology when you're an actor is you have to do everything you can to take the job. And yeah. If you get the job, take it, no matter how much you don't want it, because it may be your last one. And I really realized, as we've all had time in our heads to think during COVID, that that pattern sent me on a lifelong pattern of putting up with things I didn't want to be doing, because I felt like there would never be another thing. And then when COVID came and everything fell apart, I realized like how I'd sort of been holding my breath my whole life and been this horrible like yes woman, and that it's okay to say, I don't want to do that. Or if I do that, I don't want to do this. And the world isn't going to fall apart because you say no. And the world isn't going to fall apart because you want to stand up for yourself. And, you know, we almost all lost everything. And guess what? We survived. Yeah. So here we are.
We
those
survived.
Of us that survived. Yep. Now do what you want with your life. You don't have to put, now I look back at my life. I was just thinking that today while I was waiting to find a doctor's appointment for this. And I was thinking, I could never go back to some of the stuff that I was doing before COVID, because I couldn't put up with that kind of, I just couldn't do it.
Exactly.
I used to have a terrible fear of loss. And now I feel like, hey, if I lose something, if someone doesn't want me, I'll just go on the internet and make another thing. Because now we know we can do that. And I think it's freed us a lot. And when you free yourself, you let fear go.
Yeah.
When you let fear grow, there are less cracks for the darkness to seep into.
There you go. There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. I resonate with that one.
I love that. So when you, when you were putting together the wonderful virtual pride that I was so honored to be a part of last weekend, what spiritual bents, who's it the hardest to get? Is there a kind of spirituality, a kind of religion that it's difficult to get them on board with the idea of doing an interfaith thing? Is there certain sects of religion that you want to get involved in something like that and you haven't been able to?
The ones that are hardest to get involved are the ones that you have not built a relationship with prior to the event. And I'll be honest. I mean, you know, that's what I have found. You know, of course, more conservative of anything doesn't necessarily want to, you know, interact with others. But that's not who we're reaching out to anyway. However, I will say, you know, I mean, I have that, you know, there's some, I personally haven't necessarily reached out to some communities and have an ongoing relationship with a lot of people from the Muslim community, for instance. So
it's
not quite so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with, like, you know, they don't want to be around me or I don't want to be around them. It's just that I haven't taken the time to, as I should have, to have nurtured. I mean, I have relationships with people in the Muslim community, don't get me wrong, but I haven't necessarily nurtured those relationships as much. Some of that has to do with my own time constraints. The ones who are the hardest to come to the table are those I have found that I have not built cultivated the relationships with. Otherwise, people are there, I have found in the past, some strands of in the Jewish faith don't necessarily like to do some things interfaith, but that's a small segment. But there's Christians who don't like to do interfaith stuff as well. So it's, you know, so I guess what I'm trying to say is on a whole, I would say I haven't found anybody who doesn't want to come together.
Isn't that nice? I love that story.
Yeah.
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 I do. I love that story. And I think that it's beautiful. It's so nice to hear that.
Yeah. And like, for instance, you know, we always have people from the Buddhist community who join us every year, you know, some dear friends, but they were out of town. And so they weren't able to, I mean, they were not just out of town. They weren't able to do any recording or send anything. You know, so there were some folks who, you know, just also didn't have the ability because of where they were.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but most times people are totally willing to say, like, yeah, I'm here, I'm queer, and I'm in your face. I mean, that's our tagline. We're in your face. So, you know, but yeah, so it was a good thing. So, yeah.
I think it's interesting because for me, coming from the New Age community, sort of mostly where I came from, I think it's easier to find mostly Christian people because I think they're oftentimes the ones that leave Christianity and go to the New Age community. And then, of course, lots of Buddhists and Hindu faith because that the Eastern sort of gets lumped in with that, and there's so much of that in the metaphysical community. I think it's harder with Orthodox Jewish folks because they don't tend to – they tend to stay staunchly Jewish even if they separate themselves because of there's something that doesn't fit. Like they're not, they don't feel welcome because they're queer, whatever it is. They still tend to stay very Jewish. And I think the Muslim community as well. They seek out other non-conforming Muslims more than they go to the crystal bookshop and make pagan friends.
Exactly.
So the more insular a community is, the harder it is to connect with people. And I've had the same kind of thing happen.
Yeah. So. Again, not because, you know, there's a animosity per se, but it's just like, it's just not my thing. Yeah.
Right. It's just not, it's not as easy to encounter them. It's not as easy to run into them because they're not, you know, at the meditation workshop. So it's, it's, you know, most of the people I've amassed, I've found, you know, in that respect or through being pastored at MCC, which is, again, you find a lot of lapsed Christians and you know what I mean? Who have now adopted all different kinds of faith. So it's easier, I think, like you said, to build relationships with people, then they're on board to be a part of it. And but I have to tell you, in the beginning, when I first started doing my services, I did my two-year anniversary at Founders.
Yay!
It was, isn't that exciting? It was
really exciting.
It was a thing to talk my pagan friends and my Wiccan friends into coming to a church.
Wow.
It took a little bit of work. And that's why the first year we did it downstairs in the theater.
Oh,
so it seemed
that's
more like theater and less like church. And then we had to move it upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
We did the day before Easter last year. And Reverend Alejandro, who's the head of the Spanish-speaking ministry, who's been a guest here, asked me to if we could move it upstairs so that we could share the whatever decorations they had done for Easter. And then once we were up in the sanctuary, it just seemed like the place to stay, you know?
Right.
So now my friend, now that we're going to have start having people back next month, real life people, they're just going to have to be okay with the fact that this is where it is, and it's you know, it's the church, you're not going to burn. The minute you walk in the church, I promise you won't set on fire. It's a thing.
Right. Exactly.
Not a thing.
I've heard that a few times. The church didn't, the church didn't burn. No, it didn't.
Right. Especially with our pagan friends, right? Sometimes they don't want anything to do with the church.
Yeah.
And I understand why, but you know what?
Rightfully so. Yeah. 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 Well, because unfortunately, Christians have burned them at the stake.
For real.
For real, right? Right. You know, there's just... Go ahead.
I said our pagan friends can be very evangelical in a way, too. Just evangelical pagan.
Well, and
I mean, everybody can go to that point.
Yes. And, you know, I think sometimes that it's really not about a faith, but it's about a state of mind. Because just like you said, every faith journey has its conservatives, you know, whether whether it's pagan or whether it's Muslim, Christian, Jewish, everybody there, everything. And I think that it has much more to do with how flexible we are and how much we are willing to accept other people into our realm, if you will. And it's more of a mindset in how we do things versus the religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm afraid, it goes back to that fear. You know, are our consciousness raised? Is our vibration raised, or is it constrained and fear-based. And that, I think, is what the issue is. Not one's faith, but do you run by fear? Is it fear or faith?
Mm-hmm.
I think
I agree. Well, and also, you know, are you being, like you said, there's fundamentalism in every religion.
Yes.
I get sad when I see babies getting into witchcraft, as my beautiful spirit daughter is. And I see, you know, this, she's worried that, like, she's not doing it right, or she doesn't belong there, or she's not allowed to do it if she has other beliefs. And I'm like, honey, you're allowed to do anything you want with as many different beliefs as you want.
Right.
And you just, you know, you just live with it. People, there's always going to be somebody who's telling you you're not doing it enough, or you're doing it wrong, and you just don't listen. You know, it's you can't worry about, you can't, well, it's one of the four agreements, right, is what other people think of me is none of my business. That's a hard one.
Yeah, I think.
Because we're conditioned to, as a society, right, as part of the sheep herd, we're conditioned to believe and watch what everyone else is doing. But, you know, so I just tell her, you take the things that resonate with you. You be as much of a witch as you want to be, but you don't have to be more of one than you want to be.
Right.
And because I've seen different kinds of, like, ritual magicians telling, you know, ritual magic people telling, you know, garden magic people or Wiccan people, you're not enough of this. Or, I mean, within every subset of spirituality, they're still fighting. I always say, when three people get together, two people will figure out why they don't like the third one. And I think it's just a thing with people. Everyone wants to tell you how you're not doing it right. And and I have psychics that will say to me, well, I'm a real psychic, but this person is blah, blah, blah. I don't believe in blah, blah, blah. And I always say, you know what, honey? If the oppressive forces that be, conservative forces that be, decide to come after psychics, they're not going to say, okay, well, you know, we're going to burn you at the stake, but, oh, you're okay because all of us are going to go. So we better band together. And I see that all the time in the paranormal community when it was really a thing, you know, 10 years ago, that paranormal investigators didn't want psychics there because investigation was based on science and psychics. It's like, honey, you're hunting ghosts. You're not curing cancer.
Right.
People who don't believe think we're all insane. They don't care if you're a ufologist, if you're chasing Bigfoot, if you're looking for ghosts, if you're it's all the same thing. They don't even know the difference. It's all the same thing.
Right.
And the idea is to educate them that it's you know, that it's not, and that it is we are all different, but it is, you know what I mean? So I think that that's it's oppressed people, right? People who are oppressed then get scared and start worrying that they're not going to be accepted. It's like when they say in the queer community, oh, well, we don't want the drag queens at Pride. Well, first of all, we have Pride because drag queens finally got set up at Stonewall and kicked everyone's ass. So if anybody, drag queens should be the grand marshal every single time.
Every single freaking year. I'm down with that. Yeah.
People who hate Pride, they're not like, oh, okay, well, we don't like the drag queens, but these gays can come. No, they're not accepting you either. So why don't we stand with our own and fight for equality instead of turning on ourselves? And I think that that's a lesson all around the board, right? How about that lady in the ER? Think about all those people from her home country that wanted a better life just like she did. How about you, you know, it's empathy. Everyone needs to work on their empathy.
Absolutely. And, oh, ding, ding. Isn't that the root of all of our faith? Right?
Yeah.
You know, compassion, empathy, kindness. Well, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God forbid, like you said, you know, what happens when we all start talking to each other? The exact thing that you started this time with is, you know, we've got to be able to realize we can and should talk to each other. Because when we do,
absolutely,
the world is truly a different place. So,
Right.
Yep.
And when I say raising your vibration, it's kind of a cheat because it's, I mean, it is your vibration, but your vibration really is just a part of the global vibration and the universal vibration. And it does belong to you, but it doesn't. It's kind of like a wonderful thing that spirit has put in you.
Right.
Well, but and it's here's really part of everybody.
Exactly. And here's why I think that it's really important. I mean, that it's so important that we do this, that each of us take responsibility for raising our own vibration, is because, you know, when we look at the world, when I have conversations with people, they like, well, there's these, you know, there's always bad people who want to hurt each other, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes, and there always will be. However, what I feel my goal is, and our goal as people of faith, is to find a way for more people to raise their vibration, to get into their spiritual journeys and paths, so that in essence the negative is diluted, there's you tip the scales where there's, you know, more people who are on the path as you're talking about than there are the ones who want to scale a fence and, you know, and kill each other, right? Or to put the fences up to keep us from each other. And I think, you know, not only are, you know, vibrations raised, but our point of view is raised as well, you know, and we can see more than what it is that we have become accustomed to. So it's an amazing call that you have received and that you haven't stopped, you know, being a vanguard for, because the more you do it, the more you talk about it, the more you live it, and you're a reflection for others to see. Like, oh, if she can do it, I can too.
That is my hope, my friend.
That's right. That's right. So, and I'll be honest, you know, just to you and me in the fence post, you know, I was really, really excited to see that founders that partnered with you and you with them and are, you know, you're now staff with them, because traditionally they haven't always looked outside of traditional Christianity. And I think that it was a bold move on their part and an incredible, incredible gift that you've given them to be able to do this, because it's opening up.
Thank you.
Opening people who never would have gone outside their box to be exposed. And now boxes, I'm certain, are being, you know, are disintegrating. And that is a
thank
gift.
You, my friend.
You're
I appreciate
so welcome.
That. We're completely
so
out of time, honey. Where can where can people find you? They're clocking me down at 60 seconds. Where can people find you, my friend?
Okay. All right. 10:30 Pacific time. You can find us in person at 5730 Cahuenga Boulevard in North Hollywood, or you can go to our YouTube channel, MCCUCC Valley, and you can find us there. As we have even this interfaith service that you just talked about, people can find us there on the YouTube channel. So
beautiful. Thank you, my friend. You are wonderful. The Reverend Dr. Pat Langlois, isn't she wonderful? What a joy to have here. Please come back and see me again. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com, available for all your psychic and spiritual needs. Please go there and find me or text me 818-437-0886. We're at Raising the Vibration Radio and LiveParanormal.com. Till I see you next week, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, raise your vibration. I love you all. See you next time.